I invite you to turn your attention now to John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Our sermon text is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and praise on this, the last day of 2017, that you are the God of all time, and that your reign, your kingdom, knows no beginning and knows no end. As we stand here on the threshold of a new year, as we stand here in the midst of Christmas celebrations, just a week old, we give you thanks that you are God, and that in you we can find our hope and our life. Help us, Lord, as we begin a new year together, to keep our eyes set firmly on you, and to follow your lead, and to go where you would have us to go. These things we pray in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. John 3 is a pretty well-known chapter of the Bible. It has that most famous verse of the Bible that we didn't quite get to, John 3:16, right? But there are other verses in that Bible that are in that chapter that are equally worth reading and learning from. And I believe this encounter with Nicodemus that Jesus has is one of those encounters that is worth looking at again. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, a religious leader. He's kind of like a priest or something along those lines. He's a good religious guy. And most of the time, when I hear this story read, or when I hear other people talk about this story, the image that comes to mind is an image of Nicodemus with a certain emotional makeup, a certain emotional content in his questioning to Jesus. Let me ask you this and see if you're on the same page as me. What kind of mood is Nicodemus in when he comes to visit Jesus at night? Why does he come to Jesus at night? Kind of being protective of his own identity, because he's associating with Jesus where the Pharisees didn't really like him too well. Yeah. So there's a little, thank you for that. That's a good answer. He's being a little bit maybe fearful, maybe hiding a little bit from the broader world. He's coming at night when no one else will see him come to Jesus, right? This is one of the interpretations that we bring to this story. But I don't think it always has to be that way. I don't think that's the only way to read this story. Nicodemus doesn't say that he's scared or hiding from other people. The text just says he comes at night. And then we interpret what that means. Maybe Nicodemus is driven by something to go and find out what Jesus is talking about, to learn more from Jesus. Maybe the day has been so full of other activities, other responsibilities, other crowds, that Nicodemus wasn't able to get one-on-one time with Jesus. And so in his desire to learn more about what Jesus is talking about, he goes to him at night. Maybe. I believe that Nicodemus is driven by something to go find Jesus and learn from him. Nicodemus comes to Jesus talking about him as a teacher and a miracle worker from God. And Jesus responds by pointing him, as he pointed everyone, to the kingdom of God. This was what Jesus taught. The kingdom of God is near. It is at hand. So repent and believe the good news. And then they have this strange conversation about being born again, right? By which Jesus clearly means something spiritual, not something physical. And I believe that verse 8, the last verse that I read today, is the linchpin of the entire encounter. The Spirit of God has driven Nicodemus to encounter Jesus. Nicodemus is being born of the Spirit through this very encounter. Jesus in verse 8 says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit." And I think he's talking about Nicodemus. He's been driven to meet Jesus and learn from him right there. Keep in mind that just before this encounter, at the very end of John chapter 2, John 2 concludes with the comment that Jesus knows what's inside a person. He doesn't need anybody to tell him about what's inside a person. He knows what's inside people. And when Nicodemus arrives, Jesus doesn't rebuke him or chastise him or argue with him. He speaks peace to Nicodemus. I know a quote from Billy Graham, and you might know it too from him, that famous evangelist from the 1900s, right? But I don't know it from him. I know it from the Christian music group DC Talk that I grew up learning in the 90s. Okay, so I'm dating myself a little bit here. On the album Jesus Freak, which I still believe is one of the greatest Christian music albums ever created. Again, I'm dating myself. There's a song in which they sample a quote of Billy Graham speaking this quotation. And that's where I learned it. Maybe you've learned it from somewhere else. He says this: "Can you see God? Have you ever seen him? I've never seen the wind. I've seen the effects of the wind, but I've never seen the wind. There's a mystery to it." There's a lot of truth to that. There's a mystery to this idea of God being present among us. Now, when Billy Graham and DC Talk were using that quote, they were trying to encourage people to believe that God is real, that God exists. That motive isn't what Jesus is trying to accomplish with this metaphor about the wind and not being able to see it. Instead, Jesus is simply trying to identify the mystery of how people are moved and transformed by God's Spirit. There's something very important about the idea of Spirit. It's connected to the idea of wind and breath throughout the Scriptures. Wind and Spirit and breath, actually in the Old Testament, are all translations of the same Hebrew word, ruach. Spirit, wind, and breath, all are equal translations of that word. At the beginning, when God created everything, the Spirit of God, the ruach of God, hovered over the waters. When God created Adam from the dust of the earth and breathed the breath of God into him, it was the ruach of God that he breathed into him. In what Ron read from Isaiah 11 earlier this morning, the Spirit of God will rest on the one who will come, the Messiah, the Savior who will come. There is a mystery to this. But one thing is clear. When God's Spirit enters someone, when God's Spirit moves someone, drives someone, then things will never be the same again. God's Spirit hovers over the water at creation, and things are never the same again. Things exist. When God breathes life into Adam, he is not the same. He is alive. When the Savior comes, as Isaiah prophesied, things will not be the same. Wolves and lambs will be friends with each other. The whole world will be full of the knowledge of God. When the Spirit of God moves in someone, Jesus says, that person will be born again, will be born anew, will be born from above, born into a new and eternal life. And all of this happens when God's Spirit arrives on the scene. I think Nicodemus understood this, at least to a point. Or at least he was drawn in by the idea of God's Spirit making things new. To move and grow, to act and love, to choose and respond with the Spirit of God inside you. This is a totally new way of living. It is wildly enticing. It is deeply transformative. As Paul would write later in the New Testament, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit or keep in step with the Spirit. This is what Jesus means when he talks about the kingdom of God. God reigns in this world to the same extent that the Spirit of God lives and moves among God's people. We are God's people, gathered here as the Mount Haley Church of God. And in the upcoming year, as we begin our 75th year anniversary as a congregation, because we were founded back in 1943, 2018 is our 75th year anniversary as a church. As we go through this year, we will celebrate many things. And I'd like to introduce to you the theme that we will explore for the whole year, in one way or another. That theme is very simply the phrase, driven by the wind. And John 3:8 is our key verse for this idea. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. We are a congregation of believers in Jesus Christ, people who are born of the Spirit, people who have the Spirit of God living in us and among us. We have been changed, transformed by the presence of God in our lives. Things will never be the same because we belong to the kingdom of God. Our vision as a congregation, something that is in front of you as you enter and leave the building, something that's on your bulletin each week, is that we will intentionally grow as disciples of Jesus and as servants in our community for the sake of the kingdom of God. Living out this vision depends on the Spirit of God living within us. It depends on us being driven by the wind of God's Spirit, the breath of God, the very life of God. As we celebrate our 75th anniversary as a congregation, we will take time throughout the year to look back on the past 75 years, giving thanks to God for all that has happened in His kingdom because of this congregation. I've learned of one story. I know there are many, but I know of one story in particular that's related to Olive Deitch, our beloved sister who has passed away this past week. A story that's connected to her, where there is a person ministering who is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in a church in Florida because Olive Deitch invested in him. His name is Curtis Kane. You might remember him. Some of you know him. His mother, Tammy, still lives here in town. He's down in Florida. He actually visited here in the middle of the week, earlier in the summer time. I got to meet him and chat with him for a few minutes. We'll tell stories like that as we go through the course of the year together. We'll look back on our past and give thanks for God's faithfulness in the past. But we will also take time in the coming year to think about our future, to see where God is leading us together for the foreseeable future. What kind of church should we be? How should we invest ourselves in each other's lives, in the lives of people in our community? How does God want to breathe life into our neighbors through our relationships? How does God want to breathe life into this congregation for the next leg of its journey? These are important questions for us to wrestle with because we can't hide from the truth. And I want to be very frank and straightforward with you about this. Like many churches, many, many churches in our area and really around the country, we face some challenges on the horizon. And one of the challenges is the average age of our congregation. It's north of 60. And in 10 or 15 years, things will look very different here, just because life happens. And that's natural. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not bad. But it's something that we need to be thinking about and planning for. The time for us to focus on what kind of congregation God wants us to be 10 or 15 years from now is now, not 10 or 15 years from now. And I'm not talking about needing to get younger or to attract younger people or anything like that. I'm talking about looking toward the future and discerning how God is moving among us right now. How God would have us to move with Him. Where God would have us to go. How God is inspiring us to share His kingdom with this community. It's a process that we need to explore together. I don't have answers to it. I don't know what the solution is. If I did, I'd write a book and make millions of dollars, and lots of other churches would be happy too. We don't know the answer. But we need to look toward the future. Because God is breathing life into us and is not finished with us yet. We are driven by the wind. We are grateful for how the wind has blown over the past 75 years, and we are looking ahead to chart our course, to see which way the wind is blowing for the journey that lies ahead. You'll see some imagery over the course of the year that we will use to symbolize this 75th anniversary. Kirk, if you'd put the first picture up there for us. The image that we're going to work with is a fun new logo that Tara's sister developed, Leah Woodrum. It's the image of a sailboat. And the purpose behind this image is that sailboats are powered by the wind, right? And it takes constant attention to the movement of the wind for a sailboat to go in the direction that it's supposed to go. When you're on a sailboat, you can look backward to see where you've been, the course that you've taken, and you can look ahead to where you need to go, based on the direction of the wind. We are driven by the wind, just like a sailboat. The wind blows where it pleases, and we hoist our sails so that the wind can propel us forward. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. So it is with us. Now, one of the ways that you will see this logo, this is not shameless commerce, but this is a way for us to engage with this in a way that we have in the past, in a way that many of you are anticipating. One of the ways that we'll engage with this logo is through clothing that we will have for us all to purchase in the next few weeks. Starting next Sunday and going through February 11, which is a Sunday in the middle of the month, next month, we'll take orders for T-shirts and hoodies and sweatshirts and things that will look like this, Kirk. The next picture. The front is on the left-hand side with the color logo there, 75, meaning the number of years that we have been around, Mount Haley Church of God. And then on the back side in bold white text, driven by the wind, with the subtitle there, John 3:8. It's a small, simple way for us to get started with this theme. Starting next Sunday, you'll be able to place orders for this, and we'll have the shirts by the end of February. And then you can wear them all year long. As a way of personally engaging with this. It's a simple thing to do. But it's a way for us to remind ourselves that we are called to be driven by God's Spirit, moved by the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus for the sake of the kingdom of God. So as 2018 begins to unfold, I invite you to celebrate our history, which we are now 3/4 of a century into. And let's look forward to our future. Let's test the wind. Let's work together to move and grow and serve in 2018 in ways that advance the kingdom of God. One of the most important things that we do to be fed by God's Spirit, to be driven by the wind of God, one of the most important religious things, one of the most worshipful things that we can do, to be aligned with God's Spirit is to share in the Lord's Supper, which is prepared for us and in which we will share here in just a moment. This is a meal that provides not much physical food. There are not many calories involved in this, and it just touches a couple of the food groups. But it's spiritual food for us that fills us with life, that helps us to be driven by God's Spirit into the future. It's something that looks backward. It helps us remember the the death of Jesus and his resurrection and what this is all about. And it helps us to look forward, because even when Jesus shared this meal with his disciples for the very first time on the night that he was betrayed, he told them that he would not eat of it again until he ate it with them in the kingdom of God. So it's a meal that looks backward and that looks forward. It reminds us that Christ lives in us, that the same Spirit that lives in him lives in us, that we are united in our pursuit of God's kingdom because we share the same Lord, the one whose birth we celebrated last week, the one whose death we proclaim in the sharing of the Lord's Supper this week, the one whose resurrection we celebrate on Easter Sunday, and really every Sunday. That's why we worship on Sundays, because Christ rose from the dead on a Sunday. We worship the one whose Spirit propels us forward in our journey of faith. This is a spiritual meal for those who have been born from above, those who have been born of the Spirit. So let this meal be a time of renewal, recommitment, and dedication, that in this upcoming year, we will all be devoted to wholehearted pursuit of Jesus Christ in his kingdom.